Well, could today be the day? Could today be the day that the Clippers super team goes down in flames, John?
I don't think so.
Could it be the day?
You know what I find fascinating about this matchup tonight? We've got the Clippers Nuggets.
Game seven.
Win or go home.
Yep.
Do you know anyone who is picking the Nuggets to win this game? With reasonable analysis.
Juan's dad.
He thinks the Nuggets are going to win.
Who is a huge Nuggets fan. Okay, he's picking the Nuggets.
No, but that gets to my next question.
Okay.
He's picking the Nuggets, but he doesn't really count. I mean, anybody with a basketball pedigree, I know no one that's picking the Nuggets. Now, on the flip side, besides that small pod of people who are Clipper fans.
Yes.
You know, there aren't very many of them, but they...
No, it's a small group. They get together... Once in a while, at Staples.
Any person, anywhere, who wasn't a Clipper fan before, who is rooting for the Clippers? I don't know anyone who is picking the Nuggets.
Yes.
I don't know anybody. But everybody I know is rooting for the Nuggets.
Yeah.
So isn't that weird? That they literally, if that means anything.
Yep.
If the universe, if the secret means anything, and you claim it does, if you
I
can
do,
will
I believe you can see credit
to exist. It.
Yes.
They have the collect. Like if you did one of those maps, like who's rooting for Denver?
Oh right, and show by state.
It would be all Denver except
all Denver.
For that one little pocket for the Clippers.
I'll tell you
but
what, John.
But on the other hand, if you said, "Who do you think's going to win?" Like if you had to bet your house on it. Most people are picking the Clippers.
Yeah, I would pick the Clippers. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to bet my mythical house on it, but I am going to bet a mythical $5,000 cha-ching on
cha-ching.
Denver plus the 7.5.
Wow.
Denver plus 7.5. Let's go.
That's a bold play. I wonder if that will hold. Boy, if it holds
up. Hey, by the way, Jorge, do you have the theme song for the Clippers today? Do you have that standing by?
Oh, no. Did you forget? That's just me.
Wherever you are, to see that super team crash and burn, John, how disappointing would that
now,
be?
Now, I wonder, all these NBA quote-unquote experts that picked the Clippers to win the title.
And
I
by the way, who in the
own who, up to
who
it
in the
tomorrow.
End are just guessing, right? I mean, everybody's just guessing.
Sure.
Everybody's just guessing. And I think it was probably, what would you say, the ESPN experts more picked the Clippers to win the championship than picked anybody else, including
Nine
the Lakers.
Nine out of 16.
Nine out of 16. There are people that picked the Lakers.
And by the way, the Clippers could still win it. You know, the NBA playoffs are a game of matchups.
Yes, they are.
And so if they get into another series, the next one with the Lakers, they may match up better against the Lakers than they do against the Nuggets. I would just love to see it. It's so rare that you see... an underdog team like the Nuggets actually pull it off.
I'm rooting for that scrappy little team. In fact, Mike Malone, the head coach of the Nuggets, Jorge, do you have this? Talked about his team and sort of their identity as they go into Game 7 and the way they've played down in the bubble.
I almost feel like we're the Bad News Bears, and I'm Coach Buttermaker. We're a team that nobody really looks at and takes us seriously. And our guys, I think, have taken that personally. And we all say that we don't listen to it, but obviously we do listen to it because we talk about it, but we don't believe it. I think that's the important thing, Kay. We don't believe in what we hear. And we feel we're just as good as anybody. We feel that we're an NBA championship caliber team.
There's something to be said for playing with house money, man. They've already gotten further than anybody anticipated they would get. They already have made it to a Game 7 in the Western Conference semifinals, and they're playing with house money. The pressure is all on the Clippers. It is all on the Clippers. This has been a year's developing plan to put this team together, and the finishing touches were Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And if that thing crashes and burns, what a disaster for the Clippers. What a disaster if they crash and burn. But I'll tell you, the easiest way to the championship for the Lakers is through Denver in the Western Conference Finals and whoever in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think if Denver wins tonight, I think the odds on the Lakers winning the championship go way, 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 way up.
Yeah, I'm not buying that. I think you got to play the series in front of you. But let's
yeah,
see.
But you don't you have to believe that if the Clippers are eliminated, the odds of the Lakers winning the championship go way, way, way up.
Well, I mean, there's a way to quantify that. You just look at the Vegas odds today, and then if the Nuggets win tonight, you look at them tomorrow.
Right.
And, you know, according to you, the Lakers' odds will go way up. But I'm fascinated by who responds tonight and who doesn't.
All right, so let's shift a little bit. Dodgers lose at San Diego last night, 7-2. I was watching this last night. Thank you, Pedro Baez, back from the injured list and getting blown up in the seventh inning of that game. Kershaw was okay.
Weird. Not only Baez got blown up, they kind of blew themselves up.
Yes.
I watched those two innings where they couldn't do anything right. Muncy had back-to-back errors, and they couldn't get anything. I mean, they just didn't look like the Dodgers. The Padres are like a steamroller right now.
They are for real, man. They are for real. And it's now just a game and a half lead for the Dodgers over the Padres. Now, in the end, what does it mean if the Dodgers don't win the division, if the Padres were to overtake them? Nothing, especially.
Joe Davis said it last night. The overwhelming likelihood is that these two teams are going to meet in the second round of the playoffs, regardless who wins the division.
And I'm telling you, that is a really tough series. That is, you're going to see Clevinger, and you're going to see that guy last night, Denelson Lamet. Who's having just a spectacular year. He was great last night. Chris Paddock is there. You get one of the great young stars in the game with Fernando Tatis Jr. I mean, that is a really well-constructed team. And the fact that they went all in at the trade deadline, they made really good additions. I mean, Clevinger is a number one for most teams. And frankly, as I look at that rotation, I think he's probably their number one at this point. They traded for a number one starter. They traded for a closer. I mean, they went out and did stuff at the trade deadline, and they are going for it. And it is a tough, tough series and a tough stretch run, and it will be a very tough National League divisional series between the Dodgers and the Padres, regardless of who wins the division. By the way, I I'm rooting to be wrong, right? I don't want to be right about this, but I said that the National League West would come down to the final weekend of the season before the season even started, and you and I have a wager on it. It's going to be close. I mean, it's going to be close. Dodgers can still pick up. The thing that worries me is Cody Bellinger really worries me.
Yeah, I mean, he is struggling. I mean, he's under 200 now, I think.
Yeah, I think he's 215. He's got a 707 OPS. He is struggling just terribly right now. Mookie Betts has been just as good as advertised. The lineup has been great. Corey Seager has been great for them. Top to bottom, it's a really good lineup. But, man, Cody Bellinger, what a struggle it has been this year. He adjusted his batting stance over the winter, and now he's a little bit more upright, a little more on top of the plate. Buster Olney was on and talked about this yesterday, and he's just not comfortable. So probably he's going to tweak that lineup, batting stance again, and continuing to work through it, hopefully in time for the postseason. Did you see what that guy in Chicago said about Maria Taylor?
I just heard he got fired.
Yeah, let's talk about that next, because I think it's a fascinating story. And don't forget, we're on just until 3 o'clock today, when we will turn it over to Game 1 Eastern Conference Finals between the Celtics and the Miami Heat. We got that coming up for you at 3 o'clock this afternoon. In the meantime, we're going to do the scoop like we normally do. Bob Nightingale is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about the brand-new playoff system for Major League Baseball and the fact that they will go into a bubble format, plus the Padres and the Dodgers, and how good are the Padres. At 2:30 today, Lindsay Theory is going to join us. We'll get an update on the ramp.
You're way off on your times here, man.
Am I? Okay, I thought I was in the ballpark.
I don't know what you're reading. Yeah, I don't know what you're reading.
Yeah, I was like, you just like make stuff. This is like yesterday we sent out an email and we were trying to set up a meeting. And like everybody responded to the email except Mason. And then Mason responds to the very first email, like, yeah, I'll meet there. You're just making times up. And you're on your own clock, aren't you?
I am on my own. I keep my own clock. Okay, so it's Lindsay Theory.
Lindsay Theory is at 1:30 at the bottom of this hour in 20 minutes. Bob Nightingale Is it 2:15?
Right. And in my head, there's a completely different show going on.
Exactly.
It's just a completely different show. All right, we'll talk about that Maria Taylor story next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you very much for being out there. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate you. Thank you very much for migrating with us from Afternoon Drive to where we've always liked working, which is middays every day from 1 until 4. So last night there was some Monday Night Football, and on the Steelers-Giants game, the sideline reporter was Maria Taylor. And Maria Taylor looked great, as she always does. And a guy in Chicago named Dan McNeil from Chicago 670 The Score sent out the following tweet. He sent out a picture of Maria Taylor and said this: NFL sideline reporter or a host for the AVN annual awards presentation. That is the adult video news presentation. So in other words, kind of the adult film awards.
The porn star awards.
Yeah, the Porn Star Awards, exactly.
Yeah.
Very offensive, very misogynistic, not the kind of stuff that flies in 2020. This guy has been fired today, has been fired. And by the way, Maria Taylor's response was really, really strong, I thought, too. She said, I lost that. She said, basically, if you're a woman, whatever you wear that makes you feel confident, wear that. Now, Maria Taylor always looks fantastic. Do you think, John, that Dan McNeil, this sports talk show host, should have been fired?
Well, you know how I feel about cancel culture, and basically that's what happened to him. He got canceled today. I just can't believe he was this out of touch with what's happening in the world today. I've told you the story many times that I worked in TV news for 25 years, and because I was the sports guy, you know how sports goes on at the end of a newscast. So,
yes.
For example, if you're doing the 11 o'clock news, I don't go on until like 11:20,
right,
or 11:25, right, or whatever it is. So a lot of times I'd just be sitting in the newsroom waiting to go on. And for years, I would listen to people take phone calls about complaints because, you know, people call the news to complain all the time.
Sure.
All of the complaints about the male reporters, were about content. Like, why did that guy do that story? Or that guy didn't get that right. All the calls about women, all of them, Mace, were about their appearance, about their hair, about what they were wearing. I realize that there's just an insane double standard on television from the audience, and it's really hard. And I still am, with a lot of those women who have to put up with this crap. And I was glad Maria Taylor came back at the guy. To answer your question, I don't know how in 2020 you keep a guy on the air that feels that way about women. I mean, I don't think he gets it.
Yeah, so, I want to make a distinction, though. He's been on the air in Chicago for a long time.
Yeah.
And has been a successful guy. Has he really been canceled or has he just been fired?
Both. I think it's the same thing.
You don't think he can get another job?
Who's going to hire him?
Somebody will always hire you.
What? Well, really?
You don't think that guy can get hired again?
Oh, I don't. I think that in the culture that we live in now, everybody who's being canceled is going to have a tremendously hard time getting another job. For the main reason for that is COVID. Nobody's hiring. Everybody's firing. You know, we're in a pandemic, both,
right?
You know, medical and economic. So,
but would you say he got canceled or he self-canceled?
Probably
he canceled himself.
Yeah,
I mean, he sent. Well, and by the way,
doesn't anyone get canceled? Canceled themselves?
Yes.
Don't all the guys who got Me Too, didn't they do it to themselves?
Well, yeah, no, they actually did it to women. But yes,
right.
I can get your point.
I mean, this guy after Me Too, this guy still goes out and tweets that.
Yeah.
By the way, the general manager at the station that fired him today was a woman.
Yeah. And by the way, the other thing, John, is, you know, we've advanced in our media, in our culture, beyond women being just ornamental on the sidelines. I mean, Maria Taylor is highly qualified. She is a really, really brilliant personality, I think. She does a great job on Countdown. I thought she did a totally good job last night on Monday Night Football on the sidelines. I mean, she knows what she's doing. We've got a lot of women who are just highly qualified, whether it's Mina Kimes or it's Cassidy Hubbarth or it's Doris Burke or it's Momo. I mean, women are not ornamental anymore. They are actually contributing in a meaningful way to every broadcast that they're on. And it is ridiculous to suggest this reporter or what this sports talk show host in Chicago presented. But I think it's kind of this need to be retweeted or need to be followed or
maybe
need for attention. There was a guy that went after Nick Saban. Actually, I got it in the scoop coming up, and basically said Nick Saban is a despicable human being. Yeah, that's a hot take, but probably way too hot. I mean, just way too hot. We are all kind of seduced. Everybody that does what we do, everybody that does, you know, you need to get, there's that promo that plays, need a hot take. You know, it's not always about a hot take. Sometimes it's just about being reasonable. And nobody ever calls ESPN and says, hey, Greenberg, nice suit.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the disconnect for me, is that nobody ever comments on the appearance of men on TV. They only comment on the appearance of women.
Hey, Ryan Clark, your pocket square sucks. Nobody does that.
And part of it, too, is that if you put that out there, if this guy, and there, you know, there are certain websites and certain social media accounts that treat women this way all the time, and they have kind of an army behind them, it doesn't make it any easier for the other women that are out there. You ever look at Ramona's Twitter feed? I was working with her one night.
I actually got stuck.
Brutal.
I got stuck on a tweet tweet that was with her. So it was Ramona and Venice Mace were on this tweet. So
yeah.
I got all of her response. It was unbelievable how negative the responses were to Ramona. I feel badly for it. But, I mean, women like that have, you know, Ramona's developed thick skin. People have, you know, she can take it. She's fine in this world. And she's killing it out there. So, yeah, there's a lot of negative. There's a double standard. There's still a lot of misogyny, especially in the world of sports. And Dan McNeil found out firsthand about that today. All right, coming up next for you, speaking of great reporters, Lindsay Theory is going to join us. I told her that the Rams were going to beat the Cowboys Sunday. I told her, and still she picked the Cowboys. We will bring her on here next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. What is going on? I'll tell you what's going on. My Rams look pretty damn good Sunday night at SoFi Stadium. And I remember to a time last week when Lindsay Theory, our Rams beat reporter, was on the show, and I told her, mark my words, the Rams will win. They will beat the Cowboys. And who did she take to win? The Cowboys.
Well, give her a break. She was trying. She was analyzing the game on its merits.
Picking the Cowboys. The merits. The Rams got all the merits,
they
and the
won,
Cowboys got all the
won
demerits.
By three.
Yeah. No, it was a great night for the Rams. Great night for the Rams.
And joining us right now,
here she is.
You don't need me to defend you, Lindsay Theory. You can defend yourself. I thought that was perfectly reasonable analysis. And if that pass interference call goes the other way, you may have ended up being right. How do you feel after watching the Rams knock out the Cowboys on opening night?
Well, I feel pretty awful now that Mace just rubbed it in my face.
Well, hang on a second. That was not the intention, Lindsay. But I want to revisit last week one more time because we actually have a recording of
your prediction. Oh, dear. Why would you do this to her?
Oh, Mace, come on.
Jorge. Are you trying to get her to quit the show?
Jorge, go ahead and play it.
This is ridiculous.
Just be objective. Put on your reporter hat and tell me what you think.
This is why I can't be part of the Ramley, because I make predictions like this and they get very, very angry with me. But I actually think the Cowboys are going to win the opener.
Oh, Lindsay.
Lindsay, I thought it was a perfectly reasonable take. The game was very close, and I don't think you should feel bad at all about this. If the Rams would have blown the Cowboys out, Mason would have something to rub in. But it was very close, and let me start with this, Lindsay. What surprised you the most about the Rams opener?
Yeah, I think what surprised me the most was probably their run game behind Malcolm Brown. I was actually surprised. The Rams played it very close to the vest, who was going to actually get the carries first series of the season. A little bit surprised that it was indeed Cam Akers. But as we saw with Malcolm Brown, he came on there inside the 10-yard line that first drive and finished it with a touchdown, and he looked like he ran really, really well. So I was expecting to see a few more hiccups with this offense as it, again, kind of tried to navigate life after Todd Gurley. But I think that between Malcolm and Cam, who was a little bit of growing room, that they did a really, really nice job.
Lindsay Theory is with us, our ESPN Rams beat writer who picked the Cowboys to beat the Rams on Saturday night. Oh, Lindsay, I love you.
The Cowboys very well might have won. And after going back, and I'm actually right now rewatching the TV copy, that was a very close call, that offensive pass interference on Jalen Ramsey. So this was a really close game.
Do you think it was pass interference, by the way, Lindsay, the play between Michael Gallup and Jalen Ramsey?
I don't, by the way, Lindsay. I wouldn't have thrown a flag.
I would have called it.
I probably wouldn't have thrown the flag right there. I mean, it was pretty handsy between both of them. I mean, it just depends on how tight you're going to call the whole game. But you know what? They did really miss that call earlier on Jared Goff. That interception that Jared threw had Alden Smith's arm coming down on his head.
Yep.
So, you know, they missed calls both ways. At least you can say it was fair. In that sense.
Lindsay Theory, who covers the Rams for ESPN, is with us. Lindsay, take us inside the stadium. What was it like to watch a live NFL game that counted with no fans? And, you know, obviously we were watching the TV product, which they did a pretty good job on. They piped in the crowd noise. It seemed pretty real once the game got going. What was it like inside the building?
It was just bizarre all around. From warm-ups, when normally reporters, we can go down on the field, you can kind of get a sense of warm-ups and kind of the energy. I mean, the whole thing was dead, and then suddenly you're like, oh, it's the anthem and it's time for the game. When normally you kind of have other cues that would help get you there. The game itself, it's just weird when the Cowboys are going for it on 4th-and-3, right? Normally that place would just be rocking with noise, and it was just dead silence. So I think Aaron Donald described it best. It just kind of felt like a glorified scrimmage in a sense. You know, you're watching football happen, and yet there's none of the normal cues about the big moments. There's nothing that kind of helps build up, you know, that huge hit Jalen Ramsey had on Amari Cooper. Like, normally that would just make the crowd go wild, and it was just really hard to kind of sense any urgency or excitement when it's just the whole thing was flat.
Lindsay Theory is with us from ESPN, covers the Rams. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Lindsay, what did I tell you about Jordan Fuller? Jordan Fuller, rookie safety for the Rams. I told you he'd have a big game.
You never said anything about Jordan Fuller.
Who is Jordan Fuller, and where did he come from, Lins?
Yeah, Jordan Fuller, like you said, he's a 6th-round pick from Ohio State. Now, he had a real opportunity in camp. Him and Terrell Burgess, that's the 3rd-round pick from Utah. Taylor Rapp injured his knee early in training camp, so Taylor Rapp was on the sideline. And, you know, that's kind of one of those things where they went into the season thinking, hey, Taylor Rapp's obviously going to start in that second safety spot. And then what do you know? He can't practice, and these rookies really flash. Jordan Fuller in particular. I mean, he made a few plays during training camp that really just had you say, wow. Was it obvious that he was going to be able to overtake Taylor Rapp? Well, maybe you kind of thought, all right, they're going to maybe work Taylor back a little easy from a knee injury. But a little bit surprising that he actually did win the starting job. So Sean McVay doubled down on that yesterday and said they really liked everything he had to offer through training camp, and he just won the job.
All right, so Lindsay Theory's with us. Lindsay, I want to start this by saying I won my fantasy game, so I'm not mad at you. But when I asked you if I should play Robert Woods or Cooper Kupp, you told me to play Cooper Kupp. Then Robert Woods got like 7 balls in a row at the start of the game, and Cooper Kupp didn't look like the Cooper Kupp we've seen, or at least Jared Goff didn't go to him as much. How would you characterize the wide receivers and how the ball was kind of spread around on Sunday?
Well, I'll tell you guys, this is my first regularly scheduled 1:30 appearance. I'm being killed left and right already.
Exactly. But we're throwing you into the deep end, Theory, right out of the gate.
Yeah, yeah. Cooper Kupp was probably just being weighed down by all that extra money now in his pocket, right? There's that 3-year deal the year before. That's why he wasn't running all over the field. When you pick between Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, it's like 1A to 1B. I think any given game, they can, either one of them can go off. So obviously we saw Robert Woods, and frankly, Robert Woods, all of his action was in the first half. I mean, it looked like he was just on pace for a monster game based on his first half production, especially in the first couple of series. But, Robert Woods is always going to be a really, really good receiver. So it's kind of like pick your poison. You have both of those guys on your fantasy team. You're really pretty lucky.
Well, and yeah. Lindsay, that Jefferson kid looks like he can play. He had a couple of highlights.
Yeah, no, he had that 31-yard catch. It was a beautiful throw from Jared Goff that just dropped it right in, and it was tight coverage. And he's a guy that we have just heard nonstop teammates raving about all through training camp. So he only had the one catch during the game, but I would anticipate moving forward, you're going to start seeing a lot more of him. He played almost 50% of the snaps, so I think Van Jefferson has a really bright future ahead.
Lindsay Theory, ESPN Rams beat reporter is with us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So this Sunday, it's a good matchup. It's an interesting matchup. Philly had a terrible first week. Carson Wentz had a terrible first week. And you always get this Carson Wentz or Jared Goff conversation, and never more than this week when they square off against each other. Who do you think has had a better career so far, Goff or Wentz?
Obviously I cover Jared's career a lot more closely, or I track it a lot more closely, but I would tend to go with Jared. He's been healthy the entire time. That's something Carson Wentz, I mean, whether that's his fault or not, he hasn't been able to remain healthy. But also, I mean, Jared and Carson did too. Nick Foles, of course, ended up taking over in the Super Bowl, but Jared did lead the Rams to back-to-back division titles. He took them to the Super Bowl. I know we all want to point to last season, and it's easy to poke fun at Jared Goff and the 2019 year he had, but he looked really sharp in the opener, and I would anticipate that to continue. While Carson Wentz hasn't been able to stay healthy, and that opener he had was kind of a clunker.
All right, Lindsay, last thing for me. In the past, and you've been a part of this sometimes, the Rams have tried to travel smartly. In other words, if they have a couple of games in a row back east, or back when they had to manage the London trips, they would stay back east to minimize the cross-country flights. We read the other day that because of COVID, they're just going to keep going back east and then coming back. And that's going to be a factor here in the next few weeks, right? Don't they have three
at
back
Philly,
east?
At Buffalo.
Yeah, is that something or nothing in your opinion?
I think it's something. I actually asked Sean McVay about it yesterday, knowing that their travel plans in the past would have kept them back east. And in the past, Sean's been big on just talking about people's body clocks and getting them in a routine and
right.
a rhythm and whatnot. I think it's going to play into it. Look, they're going the day before the game. They're traveling east. They do have that 10 a.m. local time, 10 a.m. Pacific time, kickoff, which is never easy to deal with if you're a West Coast team going out and playing 1 o'clock on the East Coast. So I do think that is a hurdle they're definitely going to have to overcome. And it's not just 1 week, it's back-to-back weeks. And that's a long-haul trip. So, luckily for them, they get the charter life. They will, you know, be in a nice hotel, and they'll try to make the trip as easy as possible. But it is always the X factor for West Coast teams, and probably more so this year than ever before, just because they're only going out one day before rather than 2 days before. And they can't stay out there on the East Coast.
Yeah, at Philly, at Buffalo, home to the Giants. Then they go all the way back to the East Coast for a game against the Washington football team. And later on, trips to Miami and Tampa Bay. So they're definitely going to do a lot of traveling this year. All right, Lindsay, so
you know,
here's the question.
I would have gotten platinum status on my flights this year, but I'm not going.
You're not making these trips?
No. I will be like so many other Rams fans and a lot of NFL reporters, and I will be covering them from the comfort of my living room until further notice when the Rams are on the road.
Yeah, okay. Lindsay, that's what we've been doing with the NBA. All the team broadcasters are doing the games from their local markets. It's weird, it's different, but it's the world we live in. How did it go on Sunday with you guys all having to do Zoom after the game?
It was really weird. You know, it's one of those things where everyone's just trying to work through it. Players were kind of laughing because it was weird for them, right? They're so used to staying in the locker room. But before you know it, you have 50, 40 computers all on Zoom and the feedback and whatnot. But it was something to get used to. And I'm sure as we all kind of work through the kinks of technology and whatnot, it'll probably get a lot smoother moving forward. But just still super bizarre for everybody.
All right, last thing for you, Lindsay. You know this is coming. They're at the Eagles on Sunday. Who do you like to win that? I'll tell you up front, I like the Rams to win that game. Lindsay, what say you?
I'm going to pick the Rams, Mace. I don't know what I'm going to pick for the score yet, but I liked what I saw from the Rams in week one. I'm going to go with them on week two.
I got to tell you,
nothing else to avoid
you guys,
the half of you screaming at me on next Tuesday.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, both of you guys might be underrating how embarrassed the Eagles must have been blowing that game to the Redskins. I wish, Lindsay, don't you wish that, or if you're the Rams, don't you wish the Eagles would have won that game? I think they're going to be extra focused because they don't want to go to 0-2.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to play a team that's coming off a loss like that to the Washington football team. But you also don't want to be a reporter having to call in and just be harassed by the lead member of the Ramley.
Yeah, right. I don't blame you. It was a smart prediction. Macy just... I can't believe you made her do that. That's ridiculous.
I did not make her. She is an objective reporter, and she's picking the Eagles. She's picking the Rams. No, I appreciate that a lot.
I might change my opinion a little later in the week, depending on preparation.
Good to know.
Okay.
Good to know. All right, Lindsay, thank you for putting up with this.
Thanks, Lindsay.
You're a very good sport.
Thanks, guys.
See ya. All right, that's Lindsay Theory.
Boy, I felt bad. Did you feel like that was a sneak attack?
Yes. By you. It was a one-sided sneak. I have nothing but the highest regard for Lindsay Theory.
I love Lindsay Theory. Yeah, I love Lindsay Theory.
Do you think she feels the same way after your performance today?
She's been to my house. She's drank my booze. I think she's paying for it.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, that was no longer free.
All right, coming up next for you, John, do you know what happened 40 years ago today? 40 years ago today.
So let's see, that would be in 1980.
Yep.
And we're in September.
Yep.
I have no idea.
I will tell you next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Yeah, 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. What is going on? Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for being out there. We appreciate it a lot. We've got Eastern Conference Finals starting at 3 o'clock today. We will actually have a short show today. And, of course, the Western Conference Finals are going to be Friday. We do not know who the Lakers will play yet, but we will by the end of the night. It is Nuggets versus Clippers in a dramatic winner go home, game 7. Go Nuggets.
Yeah, 6 o'clock tonight. on ESPN, and I, like I mentioned earlier, everybody I know that follows basketball or that works in the league is picking the Clippers.
Yep.
And everyone I know is rooting for the Nuggets.
Yes.
It is a very strange dichotomy.
Yes. All right, so 40 years ago today, John, a Los Angeles icon made his debut.
Oh, I think I may know.
Now, this particular clip came from a 1990 no-hitter. Go ahead and play that, Jorge.
And now they're doing it to Guerrero, hoping to distract him, hoping to upset him, hoping perhaps to make him try too hard. Fernando ready in the strike two pitch, is hit back to the box, dribbling to second. Samuel on the bag, throws to first, double play. Fernando Valenzuela has pitched a no-hitter at 10:17 in the evening of June the 29th, 1990. If you have a sombrero, throw it to the sky.
Oh, what a great call. That no-hitter was from 1990, but he made his debut in September of 1980. Yeah.
That's not right.
We were just looking for a good Fernando clip, so we used the one from the no-hitter. But 40 years ago today, Fernando Valenzuela made his debut as a Los Angeles Dodger. And
have you ever seen the 30 for 30 on him?
I have not.
Fernando Mania.
It's amazing.
Fernando Mania is great.
Yes.
Well, there's never been an athlete for any of the major sports that tapped into the Hispanic community in Los Angeles better than Fernando did. They would have games where, like, let's say they had a four-game series. The first night they'd draw 25,000.
Yep.
Second night, 22,000. Third night, 27. And Fernando would pitch and it'd be 50. I mean, he would double the crowd by himself.
Right.
Because everybody came out of the woodwork. Because he was an actual Mexican-American.
Yeah, he's Mexican.
He came out of Mexico. I want to say Sonora, but I might be wrong.
No, you are correct. It is Sonora.
And it just tapped into the Mexican population in Los Angeles. I used to go to a lot of Oscar De La Hoya's fights.
Yeah.
And you would see a lot of Mexican-Americans show up for those things. But, man, Fernando did it on steroids.
Yeah,
And he was so good that it made the story even better. They were coming to root for him and cheer him on. But, I mean, he was a Cy Young contender every year.
Oh, yeah, every year. He was a dynamic starting pitcher.
Did he ever win it? I can't remember. Did Fernando ever get the saying? I don't think he did, but I think he came close.
I don't know off the top of my head, but I know when I use my Google machine, it will tell me such things. He won the Cy Young in 1981.
Yeah. Just a fantastic pitcher. Arguably the third greatest left-handed pitcher in Dodger history. Koufax is one, Kershaw's two, and Fernando would probably be three.
Yeah, I think there's no question about that. If
the Dodgers win the World Series and Kershaw has a lot to do with it, I think you could argue Kershaw, because of his regular season numbers, would move ahead of Koufax. Koufax did it in the postseason when the chips were down. That's why he's number one. That's the only thing missing from Kershaw's resume, but it's a big if.
This is our year, but I'll tell you what, it's a big if, especially after watching the Padres. Padres are really, really good. They are now just a game and a half behind the Dodgers in the National League West, and the Padres are loaded. I mean, I love their pitching rotation. You know, they've got Clevinger that they got from the Indians. They've got Lamette. Who was great last night. They've got Chris Paddock. They've got one of the brightest young stars in the game in Fernando Tatis, who I think, unfortunately, is going to win the MVP. I think Mookie Betts would run second right now. But I think at this moment, Fernando Tatis Jr. would be the National League most valuable player because he is just racking up numbers. And again, very, very close. Now, I'd hate to see the streak of division titles end, John. That would be disappointing if we didn't get our eighth consecutive division title.
Right, but it's not the same division.
Right.
So
it is. It's still the National League West.
Right, but it's just got playing it's got American different teams West. In it, right? Or did they
no.
They didn't end up altering the divisions?
No, they didn't change the divisions. We just the well, National League West just, plays the yeah, American
you,
League West.
Yeah, you just don't have to play any of the teams in the East. So it's
yes.
kind of a weird title anyway.
So you regionalize it, but a division title is a division title. I'm not saying hang a banner, but it's nice to see the streak going on. But ultimately, they're going to be in the playoffs. Ultimately, they will be in the playoffs. And if they survive that three-game series to start the playoffs, it would be Dodgers-Padres in a five-game NLDS, which is a phenomenal series.
And it would be played in Texas.
In Texas, yeah. We're going to talk to Bob Nightingale at 2:30 about exactly how that bubble system is going to work. And we'll also get his read on the Padres and just how good they are, how much of a threat they are to the Dodgers. All right, coming up next for you, we've got the scoop, all the stuff in sports that we haven't talked about yet. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.